Chapter 6.2. Translator. Zia. Editor. Zia. The festival lanterns hanging under the eaves swayed gently in the wind, while Sen Tunjo leaned against the window, looking at Xiao Qingyan, and said, "If one day His Majesty wants me dead, kindly do me the favor of collecting my corpse," Sen Tunjo said. Xiao Qingyan narrowed her eyes and replied, "Fine." Sen Tunjo sighed without saying a word. He knew her all too well. With her personality, the more straightforwardly she agreed, the more likely it was that she had some tricks up her sleeve. It was likely just a superficial agreement. Anyway, when the time came, he would be dead, and he couldn't expect a dead man to seek revenge on the living. Sen Tunjo didn't want this matter to go awry, so reluctantly, he explained the reason behind his request to Xiao Qingyan. "I am a woman." As she imagined Sen Tunjo wrapped in a shroud of straw, Xiao Qingyan suddenly froze. It took her a while to process what Sen Tunjo had just said. Xiao Qingyan said, "Don't think that by saying this, all." Sen Tunjo interrupted, "If you don't believe me, I can take off my clothes to show you." Xiao Qingyan exclaimed, "Who wants to see you take off your clothes?" Sen Tunjo still had that annoying look on his face as he sighed, "Just make sure you take care of my body for me." Xiao Qingyan remained silent, her brows furrowed, seemingly stunned by the revelation that Sen Tunjo claimed to be a woman. Her mind was filled with thoughts, trying to process the information. With little time left as he had to attend the royal banquet, Sen Tunjo continued to threaten her, "If you don't want to regret it, hide my body well and don't let anyone discover that I am a woman." His forceful tone made Xiao Qingyan forget to inquire why he was so certain he would die at the emperor's hands, and she retorted, "What does it have to do with me if you are a woman? Why should I regret anything?" However, she soon regretted her words as Sen Tunjo looked at her deeply. After a while, Sen Tunjo's voice sounded in the chilly air, carrying an unexplained weariness. Throughout history, there have always been a few notorious treacherous officials, but no one would say that men are unsuitable for holding office because of them. However, once a treacherous woman appears, they would say, "This is the outcome of letting women hold power." "You should understand this logic better than I do." Xiao Qingyan tightened her grip on the whip handle, "Since you understand, you should know what you can and cannot do. If you had shown some restraint, you wouldn't have ended up in this situation." Ignoring her words, Sen Tunjo asked, "Will you help me?" Xiao Qingyan was at a loss. She couldn't ruin the career paths of other women just because of one Sen Tunjo. Before Sen Tunjo left, Xiao Qingyan couldn't resist asking, "Why? Why did you end up like this?" Sen Tunjo remained silent for a long time before giving an answer, "Because I wanted to." That night at the palace banquet, Sen Tunjo encountered an ambush by the imperial guards on the way out of the palace. When he was severely injured, the emperor himself thrust a sword into his chest. Xiao Qingyan never expected that Sen Tunjo would come to discuss the matter of collecting the body in the evening and end up dead at night. On her way to the palace, her mind was in a daze. After managing to swap Sen Tunjo's body with someone else's, she personally removed the blood-stained official robes to finally confirm that it was Sen Tunjo, not someone else. Afterward, it took Xiao Qingyan a long time to gradually understand that the reason the late emperor disliked her so much was that he disapproved of women being too active and ambitious. If it weren't for Sen Tunjo's arguments, the Mingda Academy would never have been established. It wasn't her who snatched the academy from Sen Tunjo's hands, but from the very beginning, he saw her as the most suitable person to take over the academy. He had even arranged for a contingency plan at the Ministry of Revenue, ensuring the academy would continue even if he died, allowing female students to participate in the imperial examinations in disguise as men. Xiao Qingyan couldn't help but find herself foolish for repeatedly pondering her last question to Sen Tunjo. "Why did you end up like this?" Xiao Qingyan took on too many responsibilities and tasks. Whenever she needed to achieve something, she felt compelled to do so. Sen Tunjo might have owed others, but he was the only one who never owed her. In fact, it could be said that she owed Sen Tunjo too much. When she refused to bend, he broke his own bones to move forward for her. Unfortunately, by the time she realized this and wanted to repay him, he was no longer there. In mid-March, as customary, the palace held the annual spring banquet, inviting various officials. Although the emperor couldn't attend in person due to various reasons, there were enough high-ranking officials to host the banquet. This year's host for the spring banquet was none other than the current prime minister, Yan Lanting, who had returned to the capital a few days ago after being away for official business. Yan Lanting had been in office for 15 years but appeared much younger than many others present. This was because he became a Jinshi, successful candidate in the imperial examination, at the age of 12, and a Zhuangyuan, top scorer, at 15. At the age of only 21, he had already served as a Hanlin Academy compiler for more than 6 months and was sent to an official position for 5 years before returning to the capital. Considering all this, his rapid rise to the position of prime minister after 9 years in the bureaucracy didn't seem too surprising. With the emperor absent, the officials became lively after a few cups of wine at the banquet. They exchanged poems, shared jokes, and drank heartily, making the atmosphere quite festive. After the banquet dispersed, Yan Lanting was preparing to leave when he encountered Princess Xiao Qingyan in the apricot blossom forest of the Spring Splendor Garden. Yan Lanting, greetings, Your Highness. Princess Xiao Qingyan, absorbed in her thoughts, uttered a vague response and dismissed the young eunuch who was guiding Yan Lanting. She approached him, speaking in a low voice, I have a question for you. Yan Lanting glanced at the eunuch who was the commander of the Forbidden Army but seemed completely unnoticed behind Princess Xiao Qingyan. He calmly replied, You may speak, Your Highness. Princess Xiao Qingyan pondered for a while and asked him, You went to Hangzhou to work 15 years ago, and Tunzhou also stayed there for a while. Tell me, did Tunzhou have any children at that time? The icy composure of Yan Lanting seemed to shatter as if someone had chiseled through it, revealing an unusual sense of confusion. Huh?